and let him up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no fuller on earth could bleach them. Then Elijah appeared to them, along with Moses, and they were conversing with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, "Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He hardly knew what to say. They were so terrified. Then a cloud came, casting a shadow over them. From the cloud came a voice, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone but Jesus alone with them. As they were coming down from the mountain, he charged them not to relate what they had seen to anyone, except the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept matters to themselves, questioning what rising from the dead meant. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. I have a confession to make. This one's a little embarrassing, so you have to be kind. As a college student and through seminary, I developed a great affection, one might even call it an attachment, to Taco Bell. And specifically, to the chalupa. Now, Taco Bell, if you're not aware, is fake Mexican fast food. And a chalupa is a real thing in Mexico. What we serve here is basically a sloppy joe and a pita bread. Okay. When I would be up late, study sessions, when I'd have papers to pound out or more chapters to get through, I'd use the chalupa as a carrot to get myself through. I'd say, if I can, you know, make it to midnight, then I'll treat myself before I go to bed. And so I would then pull in to the drive-thru at Taco Bell at 1 or 1:30 in the morning. I am pretty sure they were not waiting for kids to come home from the library. But I would swing through the drive-thru and pick up my chalupas and then go home and eat these two greasy, fake Mexican fast foods and then go to bed. You could do that when you were 20. 40 is a little bit trickier. And I'm not 40 till next year. Okay, I have not had Taco Bell in at least 10 years. And then there was last week. 2 weeks ago. Here's what happened. As Reggie and I are driving into the sunset for our time away, I begin to see signs along the highway. Taco Bell, 50 miles. Taco Bell, 30 miles. And then it's like the radio is conspiring with the road signs. We have a new chalupa. This one's got bacon. Bacon, I thought. Why didn't they think of this 20 years ago? Why didn't I think of this 20 years ago? I could be a millionaire. But I kept saying, no, 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 it's bad for you. It's bad. You're too fat. You have to drive. This is not good, not good, not good. Well, I held off for about two states. But somewhere in Macon County, Mississippi, my will broke. Reggie and I pulled off the road, and I bought one of these new chalupas, and we sat, somewhat fittingly, in the parking lot of a Walmart while we ate. It was good. For what it was really good. The dog agreed too. And then I had to drive another 400 miles. That was less good, with that sitting right in my belly. My time in Mississippi and Louisiana was good, And I had a lot better food, both better for me and better tasting while I was there. And then there was the trip back. I had not set out to have Taco Bell again. In fact, I'd said to myself just a week and a half before, I will never do that to my body again. But 2 days ago, 3 days ago, driving back, we missed lunch and we missed dinner. I had car trouble. There was all kinds of mess. So we pull into St. Louis at 10 o'clock at night, and I just don't have the energy to do anything else. This time, I didn't just buy one. I bought two. And it turns out 10 o'clock is the new 2 o'clock when you're older, and they don't sit any better in your belly late at night. I was up almost all night with indigestion from this terrible, terrible food. I'm telling you this because there's a temptation every year, maybe this year especially, to say to ourselves, life's hard enough. Why screw around with Lent? So much has been taken from us this past year. Why bother trying anything else? And the answer is chalupas. The answer is Taco Bell. The answer is old habits, bad practice, and how easy it is for us to slip back in to things that we know are bad for us. We know will not make us happy, but they sure look good from the side of the road. Peter slips back into an old practice. He encounters the kind of thing most of us say we're looking for pretty much of the time, right? When we're desperate, when we're feeling really unsure in our faith, when we have some terrible personal problem going on, we come in prayer and we say, Lord, if you just show me, if you just make yourself known to me the way you did the people in the Bible, if I could just see and hear and taste and touch the way Peter, James, and John did, I'd get it. I'd be happy. I could trust you enough to do what you're asking me to do. Probably in some desperate moment, every one of us has made some kind of prayer like that. The problem is, we don't. We don't change the way we think we will just because we've seen it. And here's how we know. Peter, seeing the transfigured Lord, said to Jesus in reply, and this is interesting. St. Mark is not as clever with his language as some of the others are, but he does one thing that's really interesting. People are always speaking to each other in reply, as though the other person has asked a question. Jesus asks no question here. But Peter says to Jesus in reply, Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us build three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Let me build a roadside shrine. It'll be like the biggest rubber band ball or something like that. And we can put it here so that everybody knows this is the place where you... And of course, it misses the point. Not only because the tents are a memory of what they would have done as Jews, but it misses the point because Jesus isn't transfigured on the mountain so that 2,000 years later, we can all pay some Israeli travel company money to go visit the shrine. Though you can do that if you want to. $9.99, I've got copies in the back. No, it's not like that. Jesus is transfigured on the mountain to show us in his human body the glory of God made manifest, which means that wherever his body is present, that same glory is manifest, whether you can see it or not. Year and change ago, some wealthy, faithful people here in Des Moines funded a film called The Veil Removed. If you haven't seen it, you should. Go ahead and Google it. It'll pop up on YouTube. It's a short 5-minute film about the Mass, which tries to show you Mass with the special effects on. The priest, we say at every Mass, acts in the person of Jesus, which is why he says, this is my body and not this is Jesus's body, because the priest is acting in the person of Jesus. And through the magic of Hollywood special effects in the movie, the priest turns into Jesus. The priest prays at every Mass that we would join with all the choirs of angels and saints. He incenses the icons to show that the saints are here in the sanctuary, and through movie magic, you can see the saints and the angels in the sanctuary. Well, guess what? You don't need the special effects. It's why he doesn't do this all the time. We couldn't take it all in. But the truth that the effects show are always present. Every Mass, the Lord is manifest as surely as he was on Mount Tabor. And every encounter we have with another one baptized by grace, we meet him as surely as they did coming down the mountain. The Lord is here, really, truly, and substantially. In the Blessed Sacrament, most obviously, but he is really here, really working, and really working even in the tangled up, messy events of our lives. Which is why Lent remains important, and why the traditional practices of fasting and prayer and almsgiving are still relevant. And I say this every year, you'll get tired of me by the time they finally reassign me, but we'll diet for anything. People will eat all kinds of crazy things. Things that they didn't even know existed 5 minutes ago, if it's going to make them look better or feel better or pee better or something. But you tell them to fast because it's good for their soul, and suddenly, who are you to get up in my business, preacher? Who are you to think that you know what's best for my soul? I'm really sorry about this. I didn't plan it this way. I didn't set it up. But this guy established a church, and he ordained people to run it. And yeah, we're kind of schleps and dumb like the rest of you, but we're the ones you put in charge. It's really that simple. If you've got a problem with it, take it up with him. There's nothing I can do about it. Believe me, I could go back to Louisiana, put my feet up on the Gulf, maybe even eat another chalupa. No, the tradition stands for itself. It's handed on by the leaders of the church because this stuff actually works. You don't believe me? Look at the lives of the saints. One long Lent is our journey here on earth in order to prepare us for something more, something better yet to come. That's the whole point here, gang, to prepare us for something better yet to come. Now, one thing that is kind of special for us, and by us I mean English-speaking Christians. So the word for Lent in Latin and in all the Romance languages that come from Latin, so Spanish and French and Italian, right, Portuguese, is quarantina or quaresma. It's related to our word quarantine, and it means literally like to isolate or to go apart. It's attached to the period of 40 days. But when the faith came to English-speaking countries, there was a decision made more than 1,000 years ago, to use this word Lent for the period before Easter. And the reason is the word Lent is related to our word life. It originally means springtime. That's counterintuitive, isn't it? The imagery that comes into our heads, I say Easter, you think spring flowers, right? You think Easter lilies. Candies, the sun is shining. But our fathers in faith saw that Lent was a time when the life begins to grow, when the flower begins to bud. It doesn't happen all at once. We don't go from 0 to 60 in a minute. It takes, well, at least 6 weeks. Which is why we have to take seriously what we do now in order to seriously receive what he has in store for us later. So, I understand the pain of loss. I'm struggling just as y'all are. That's why I had to take the time away. But we cannot let that grind us down. We cannot let that separate us from what we know is most important. And we must, us here, we, not preacher, y'all, we must be responsible for bringing in those who have not yet returned. Because Lent, like everything, is not something we can do alone. We need him. And we need each other.